Reformed Church.
God wants to do miracles in our life, and you know, Jesus said in his earthly ministry that that these works would we do in greater works than these. And that means that the things that you saw in Jesus' ministry, you know, Jesus was healing the sick and raising the dead and casting out devils and cleansing lepers, and he said that we would do greater works than these. And that's a very, to a lot of Christians, it's confusing, but it's actually a very, very simple thing. In fact, actually, once you realize the truth of what you have, you look at that verse and you say, well, how couldn't it be that way? Because the Bible says that what we have is equivalent to him in his resurrection and not him in his earthly ministry. And he has more privileges in his resurrection than he did in his earthly ministry. And that being said, if he has more privileges in his glory right now than in his earthly ministry, because he limited himself and became lower than the angels at that time, and we have what he has in his glory, it would make sense. Of course, greater works than these would we do. We wouldn't be limited to his limited state in his earthly ministry. So God wants to do miracles in our life. You know, being healed is something that God wants to see all the time in your life. If someone is sick, God wants to heal every single sick person. This is controversial to a lot of people, but God wants to raise every single person that has died. He wants us all to be well and youthful in nature, despite how many years go by. God wants all of that for us all the time, right? But it's not just for specific time periods or for specific people. Jesus died for everybody. He died for the root of all these problems, which is sin, for everyone. But for a lot of Christians, Christians pray for, you've heard the term, revival, right? Christians are praying for revival frequently. In fact, I've actually never heard of a ministry that didn't agree with the concept of praying for revival. Never, of course, apart from Reformed Church, I've never heard of a ministry that disagreed with that. But you don't need to pray for revival. And personally, I've never prayed for revival. That's never actually been something that I've prayed for. And it's not right for the Christian church to want to see miracles and then see the solution to that is to pray to God for revival. Because you're praying for something you already have. It's actually, what you don't realize is miracles don't happen because you pray for revival. Because revival means like to make something alive again. And unfortunately, because Christians don't see the life of God prevalent in the church or in their own life, they think, well, I need to pray to get it. So I need to pray, Lord, revive us. You know, Holy Spirit, fall. Or we need fresh fire. Or we need fresh something else. But you actually don't need fresh anything. There's nothing fresh or new that God needs to give you because the Bible already says you're a new creation already and all things are of God. That means that there's nothing about you inside of you that isn't of God already. So what do you, if you really believe things like that, if you believe that Jesus finished every single thing and everything about you was already new, we don't need to pray for revival. The Bible says we're already made alive in Christ. You have the life of God on the inside of you. And so the answer is not in praying for revival or asking the Holy Spirit to fall again, which the Bible clearly states that the windows of heaven to believers are closed, actually. It's a real thing in the Bible, in symbol. In both the account of Jericho and the account of, the account of Noah, both actually say the windows of heaven were restrained, and that's actually speaking about the Holy Spirit symbolically. But that aside, the answer is not in praying for revival or praying for God to do something extra. Jesus already said it's finished, so God's done on his end, and you're already finished, a finished work created in Christ Jesus for good works. You're a new creation. All things are of God, and all means all. So then what's the problem? Christians just need to understand who they already are. It sounds so simple that that's why most Christians pass that up. Miracles happen when you just hear the truth about who you already are in Christ. And that is Galatians chapter 3, verse 5. It's by the hearing of faith. It's hearing of faith. It actually says specifically that the Spirit works miracles among us, not by works of the law, but by the hearing of faith. Miracles don't happen because you start expecting miracles. Miracles don't happen because you pray for revival. Miracles don't happen because you ask God for something fresh or something new or, Lord, spice things up because things feel stagnant. You know, I grew up in church and I would always hear people say about, it just feels like a plateau. It feels stagnant. And then comparisons with stagnant water and all this stuff and the Lord needs to do something extra. And all of that is not the solution. The solution, everything's already finished. The solution to seeing miracles, which God does want to perform in our life, is to just get a clue of what's already done. Hearing of faith is the Bible. What the Bible says right there is how the Holy Spirit produces miracles. And hearing of faith just means hearing the truth. Christians don't know what they already have, which is why we're praying for revival. You wouldn't pray for revival if you knew what you already had. If you thought you were raised with Christ and made alive together with him, Ephesians chapter 2, you wouldn't pray for what you already had. And actually, here's a sort of a hot take, I guess you could call it. This particular praying for revival is actually the thing that's hindering miracles. Because when you pray for something you already have, that hinders the power of God, because the only way that these things are made effectual through us is through acknowledging what's already in us. One more verse I want to read you is in Mark 16. He says that these signs will follow those who believe, and he makes mention of several different, you know, miraculous type things that God wants to do in our life, and speaking in other languages, which is all that tongues is, and things not hurting us, and he names a few things there, and healing the sick. But he said these signs follow those who believe, not those who pray for revival, not those who, you know, do something for God or ask for something fresh, but just those who believe. Like, these things have already been done for 2,000 years. It's like archaeology. It's already underground. You have to find what's underground. You don't need something new. The believer's seeking of the Lord is much like archaeology. You're unearthing things, and hey, what am I going to find? I'm unearthing something that's very old. That's what seeking the Lord is like, or should be like, for a believer. Not asking for something new, but unearthing something old. It's been done for 2,000 years, and you've had it since the day you were first born again. It's just unearthing these things and learning about it. Most Christians don't know who they are in Christ. And one last thing I'll leave you with is that it does say that these signs follow those who believe. And a lot of Christians are saying to themselves, I already believe, and I haven't seen anything in my life. Here's the problem, though. A really big issue with the way that Christians think is this. They're saying, I already believe. But the question is not so much if you believe. The question is what you believe. The question isn't even just how much you believe. Because Christians are only thinking, I believe, I need to believe more, I need to believe harder. But it's not believing harder, it's what are you believing? Because you can believe something wrong really hard, like revival, and we can get together and ask God to pour out his Spirit, and we can believe really hard for a miracle, quote unquote, but you're not believing for something. Right? You're believing something old. We're not believing for God to do something. You're believing something that already happened and something you already have to unearth it and manifest it. So just keep that in mind. It's not just, do you believe? Oh, I already believe. No. The next question is, what do you believe? Because most Christians don't know, it's not accurate truth that we're hearing many times, right? And it's pervasive in the church. It's not accurate truth. And like I said, all that we think sometimes when we hear verses like that, these signs will follow those who believe, Christians almost feel insulted, like, what, don't I believe? And every Christian does, but a lot of what we believe is wrong. And wrong belief doesn't produce miracles. It's seeing Jesus as he is that produces it. And that's why we want to get accurate belief, not just more belief, which is nothing wrong with that, as long as it's right, but in not just believing harder. Christians just wipe themselves out saying, I believe this is going to happen. I believe this is going to happen. But that's not the content of your belief. What are you believing? Get right belief. Get accurate truth. We need to get more accurate in our belief. And the more accurate you get in your belief, the Bible says that when we see Jesus as he is, you get transformed into his image on the outside as well. So I'll leave you with that. But this praying for revival concept is counterintuitive. It's the recognition of the good things that are already in you in Christ Jesus, according to Philemon 1:6, that makes these things effectual, not a praying for something more. Christians are, you're so complete in Jesus, as Colossians says, that to pray for something more is just, it's lack of recognition of who you already are. You're already doing awesome in Jesus, no matter how you feel on the outside. It's recognizing that and finding the specific things that Jesus did for you that's going to produce the results. And we're going to see miracles, to see miracles in this church and people raised from the, you will see people raised from the dead. You will see the sick healed. You'll see, you know, people cleansed. You'll see a supernatural defense of the church. You're going to see all these things, and it's not going to come because Reformed Church was praying for revival. It's going to come because archaeology, we found something that's been sitting there the whole time. The church didn't know it was there, and the whole time it was right under the earth. And we just had to find it. That's the exciting thing, right? It's you already have it, and it's just finding what you already have in Jesus. And you can do that with the help of Scripture, with the help of Reformed Church, and you seeking the Lord for yourself.
We hope you enjoyed this message from Reformed Church. If you have, please share this with someone else and help us get this uncommon truth out to the world. If you'd like to support this good news, you can do so at reformchurch.com/give. Also on our website, you can take advantage of our free messages, articles, and even full discipleship courses. Start reforming your mind now at reformchurch.com.